to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
So tell them, pay attention, because God's got good things for you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. We started yesterday. I'll get it together here. We started Wednesday. All good. But we started a series on Wednesday talking about, really, I was going to get into the prevailing through the Word of God over, you know, bondages, whatever, of the flesh, whether they be of the flesh, of the mind, demonic, or in any area of your life. But we didn't get very far into the prevailing part. We just started talking about how the Bible tells us his plan for us is that we be always triumphant. And so I'm going to just quote a few of the verses we started out with. You can just listen or turn to them if you'd like, but I'm going to go kind of fast. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Then Romans 8:37, in all these things, if you look at the context, he's talking about all the tests and trials of life, different things that come against us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Notice he said in all these things, not in the absence of them. Right in the middle of them. Amen. He's telling us we're not victims to what the world is bound with. We've been set free. Then he said in Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the enemy, the accuser of the brethren is the context, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. We're always triumphant. Those are victory words to me. And then we read in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And then he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible didn't promise that if you had faith, you won't have anything to overcome. The Bible doesn't say that if you have faith, you won't have any tests or trials. That you'll never have something that you have to get the victory over. The Bible doesn't say it won't that faith will keep those things from coming. The Bible says it'll guarantee that you always are victorious over them when they come. Amen. Amen. The devil can't overcome a single ounce of faith. And then we read 1 Corinthians 15:57. He gives us the victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them in the context is demonic forces. Have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Everything that comes against you, what God gave you is stronger and greater than what the enemy's bringing against you. Hallelujah. Love is greater than hate. Mercy is greater than judgment. Faith is greater than fear or unbelief. Joy is greater than sorrow or depression. Peace is greater than confusion and stress. Amen. Forgiveness is greater than bitterness, offense, anger, and all of those things that come against us. And so there's something that God has given you as a believer that is greater than what is coming against you. Amen. And then he said in 1 John 2:14, you are strong. Paul's talking to some young men. You are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. There's an overcoming verse again. See, the theme in those verses is all overcomers. We as believers are overcomers. Amen. Not undertakers, but overcomers. Philippians 4:13 tells us about I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we could go on and on different verses. And we looked on Wednesday night at some things that we are to be overcomers over. We looked at wrong thinking, religious spirits, old mentalities, unbelief, fear, confusion, darkness, depression, spiritual death. You know, when we were born again, we overcame spiritual death. Even physical death. The Bible says Jesus had the keys of death and of hell. The physical death can't kill us until you and I and God decide, okay, we're ready to go. And so physical death, sickness and disease, poverty. You realize in every one of our lives, there's something that tries to track us. Just tries to dog us. Maybe it's not one area, but another area. Maybe it's something in your life different than somebody else's life. Maybe in your life, maybe some bondage of the flesh like alcohol or something like that wasn't an issue. But in your life, maybe it was just, you just have to always overcome being bitter and offended or something like that. Or just always getting into strife and fussing or something like that. Whatever it is, just know that you are an overcomer. Amen. And so we read this list, physical death, sickness, poverty, bondage, you know, sin. There's a bit, that ought to have been the first one on the list. Then Satan and demons, the world. You know, this is the victory, he said, that overcomes the world. How about the flesh? Remember we read on, I believe it was on Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 6, where that verse says, we're not to be brought under the power of anything. Food is fine. We eat food, but we're not to be brought under the power of it. There's certain things that are fine, but we're not to be controlled by them. Recreation, entertainment, things like that are fine. But whenever we start being controlled by them, and they keep us out of the plan of God or out of our Bibles or out of church or out of our time with God or whatever, you know, then we've got to put our foot to it, so to speak. So we talked about bondage of the flesh. We talked about the gates of hell. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So we prevail over the gates of hell. How about condemnation? I'm an overcomer over condemnation. I used to have an inferiority complex. Used to feel bad if somebody didn't like me. You know, for one reason or another. I can't imagine why, such a nice guy like me. But I didn't understand. If somebody didn't like me, I felt bad. I felt condemned, you know, an inferiority complex, so forth and so on. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I found out who I was in Christ, and I stopped feeling bad for me. I started feeling bad for them. because I'm a blessing. Somebody said, that's egotistical. I'm talking about in Christ. In Christ. So condemnation. How about victory over your past? I'm telling you, your past is gone. You may as well forget it. You can't change it. What you did, you did. What you said, you said. All you can do is ask God to forgive you, ask them to forgive you. And then, here's the big one, forgive yourself. Because you're not going to be a blessing to anybody just holding that against yourself. So victory over your past, victory over temptation to sin, victory over a discouragement, victory over weakness, victory over hindrance, opposition, lack. How about victory over strife, victory over offense? And that thing it keeps trying to get a hold of, get in your spirit, you know. How about victory over bad attitudes? Have you ever just woken up in the morning and just something, I don't know, just the pillow had a burr in it while you were sleeping or something, and you just woke up kind of, anybody ever done that? Might as well fess up, we've all seen you do it, so. Hey, man, I know your wife has, but we won't ask her to testify. Bad attitudes. How about victory over, how many in here are married? Hold your hand up if you're married. Have you ever just noticed that something tries to get between you and everything that your partner would say, you took it wrong. Everything you said, they took it wrong. And there's just something in the atmosphere. And you didn't intend it the way you said it. You didn't intend it wrong. And the way they said it, they didn't intend it wrong. But there's just something just got in. And before you know it, well, why did you say that? Because I didn't understand. I didn't mean it that way. Before you know it, it's just a fuss. And you go into your separate rooms later, and you're like, where did that come from? I had a good day. I was intending to have a good night. You know, anybody ever, be honest. How many of you people be honest? How about victory over that? Sometimes you need to look at each other and say, well, I know that's not you. I know that's not me. It's something in the air between us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you got to take authority over that. Well, anyhow, since you're all so agreeable to all that, let's just get into some more keys to victory over all this. Basically, John 8:32 is the place we should just go ahead and go for time's sake today. Jesus said something that it's so fundamental, so simple, and yet, and if we're not careful, we'll think, well, we're past that. But actually, you never get past this. You build upon it, you learn more about it, but you never get past it. You never move off of this foundation. Brother Hagin said that when he started pastoring years ago, before he, you know, traveled, you know, most of his life he traveled, had a different kind of ministry, but he pastored for, I believe, 12 years, if I remember right. And he said during those 12 years, he said he noticed that the people, because you live with the people and you find out how they're living, whether they're living victorious or not. And he said, so he noticed, this, he said, he actually said to the Lord one time, he said, if what I'm preaching has ever helped any of them, I can't tell it. In other words, by a changed life. Amen. Brother Hagin said, just a few of them, you know. And Jesus said to him, now you're getting the results that I got. You know, talking about the parable of the sower, only 8% really ever got the full potential out of it. Anyway, I know that's not encouraging, but amen. I'll guarantee you something about Spirit of Faith Family Church is that there's a lot more good soil here than that. I know you. But the point I'm making is, Brother Hagin said, I'm going to start having some different kinds of services to help, you know, these people that are oppressed and heavy and bound in different areas and bound to sin in different areas. I'm going to start having get-free services. Get free. So he started calling them get-free. Okay, come Sunday night, we're going to have a get-free service. And they all got free. And then that wore off, the novelty of that wore off. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have get-loose services. So he had get loose services for a while. And they all come and got loosed. The ones that had gotten free now weren't free. Now they came and got loosed. Amen. Then he had, I don't remember all the titles he gave different names for it, get victory services or something. And the novelty would wear off. And Brother Hagin said he'd do that for a while. And he noticed none of them are getting any better results. They didn't get loose. They didn't get free. They didn't get victory. You know, through just coming and moving with the Holy Ghost. And so, and he said the Lord began to deal with him about, you know, here in this verse is kind of one way to look at what the Lord was dealing with him about it. In John 8. Have you found John 8? Jesus said this in verse 31, those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth that you could say that you know, shall make you free. In other words, Jesus told us the key, the answer to where real freedom over strife, over bondage, over depression, over the world, over sin, over, you know, all that list we listed. And there's probably another 100 we didn't list. Amen. Fear, unbelief, all those things, the main way to get free from them is this verse, knowing the truth. Knowing the truth. There's just something about knowing the truth of the word, knowing who you are in Christ, that changes you in a way that nothing else will ever change you. Not a better education. Not more income. I mean, there's just a lot of things that just comes down to the only way that we're going to walk out of that bondage, whatever kind it is, into liberty in that area is just going to be get a hold of the truth of God's word. So he said, you'll know the truth. How many of you know deep in the heart of every man, there is a longing to master these things? You know, some young man, he's starting to get hooked on pornography or something like that. He hates himself for it. He doesn't like himself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a longing to not be bound by that. Amen. And listen, Satan's not playing games. He wants you bound. He wants you. You know, it's one thing to come to church and smile and dress up and everybody says, oh, they're such a sweet person. That's great. Don't misunderstand me. But to look victorious, but then in your private life be bound by something is not real victory. Amen. We're talking about free behind closed doors. We're talking about free when no one else is around. I'm talking about, how about free from loneliness? How many of you know when nobody else is around and you're just sort of all by yourself and you wish you had somebody to maybe go out to eat with or something, you know? There's a freedom from that loneliness. And we could go on and on. But the way you really live victorious with true victory in any area is getting the truth of God's word planted in your heart in that area. Amen? Man longs to live free like that. Intuitively, he knows he was created to rule. And really, he was. He wasn't created to be in bondage to these things that, I mean, look at the two greatest news stories of the week. We got a man, of course, it didn't happen last week, but it happened the week, but it's still the news this week. The man that shot all those people in Las Vegas. Oh, they talk about, was it ISIS or was it this that he got affiliated with? What was it? Let's just forget about what it really was a man bound by hate. He's bound by hate. He was bound up with sin. The hate for other people. For whatever reason, who cares what the reason was? The reason was that he let hate get in his heart. Whatever, anger at certain, I don't know, whatever his deal was. You understand what I'm talking? And then the other main news story, the big Hollywood, big wig, whatever, whoever, I don't know who he was. Come to find out, now they've found, I saw just the other day, a list of 37 women that he has abused sexually. So not, how many of you know that ain't half of them?
Right, that's right.
But this has been going on for since the 90s, you know. And he's big. I don't even know who he is. I'm not Hollywood. Hollywood is so dead to me, and I'm so dead to Hollywood. I don't have any. You know what I'm talking about? But apparently he's some big wig or something. Well, what is that? What's the story? The story is a man, dear precious, dear God, a man that Jesus died for, bound by lust. Amen. Bound in an area, being controlled by something that it wasn't what he wanted to do. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure he hated himself for it. How many of you know? How many of you know that's the truth? You don't. You're not proud of that kind of stuff. If they were proud of it, they'd have come out and told everybody. So no, they're not proud of it. They don't like the fact that they're bound. But see, that's just an example. So, you know, we see it in the news all the time. We see all this stuff. But that's just an example of people being bound. And you realize God doesn't want us bound by anything. Because if we live that kind of bondage, we're no different than the world. Even if it is in secret. That's not real freedom. We're not free because we're Americans. Keep on reading here. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, he's talking to the Jews that thought, well, that's God, that can't be. What's he talking to us about this for? And then he said in verse, the Jews in verse 33 said, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How say thou, ye shall be made free? You know, Americans could say that. We've never been under oppression to any nation, by any nation. No other nation has occupied us. We're free people. And so we could say something like that in response to Jesus' statements that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And then Jesus went on to say, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, if you look that up, it means practices, ongoingly sin. Whosoever committeth or practices ongoingly sin is the servant of sin. Is the servant of sin. Say that out loud. They're the servant of sin. In other words, it's mastering them. It's making them do things they don't want to do. Are you out there? That can be true about lust, offense, depression, distractions, alcohol, loneliness, strife, hatred, emotions ruling us, or whatever. Are you still there? So he's talking about somebody that's doing things that they don't want to do, but they end up keep going back to this, like a pig going back to the squalor. You wash him up, and he goes back to the mud. How many of you know that's not what God... See, the Old Testament forgave them of sin, but it gave them no power. The Old Testament blood of animals gave them no power to actually master it. They were forgiven of the past, but they were going to go back and do the same thing because they had not received that new nature of righteousness. Tell me I'm preaching all right. And if all we have in the new covenant is just forgiveness, we have nothing better than they had in the Old Testament. But that's not all we have in the New Testament. We do have forgiveness of sin. Thank God we do have that. But we have, the Romans 6 talks about it, we have where he talks about their sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. People go into strange doctrines with that, but basically grace is the ability to do something you couldn't do before. You have the power of the greater one living on the inside of you to master and whip sin, oppression, bondage, anything. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Go back to Romans chapter number 8. Look at it. Another verse. There's verses all through the Bible about this. I'm so thankful that I found out the truth about, and I'm not perfect, you know that, but I found out the truth, and I'm living a whole lot freer in some of these areas than I used to. Oh, dear God. It used to pull me around like a you know, I grew up on the farm, and we had animals, cattle, mostly, you know, cows, and we'd put a ring in the bull's nose. And he's big, and you couldn't control him unless you got a rope or something in that ring, and that hurt whenever you'd pull it. So you could get him to move where you wanted him to move. And that's the way I was as a teenager. When sin pulled this way, I was controlled by it. I saved. Hello? None of us has to explain to one another what we're talking about. But there was a truth. There were truths in God's word that has changed me in that area. Here's one of them, Romans 8. I had you go there. Look at verse number 13. Well, let's go back up to verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you go back to the previous verses, he said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. And that's what he means by therefore, brethren, because the spirit of God's in you, and he's the greater one. He said, we're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I always, when I read debtor, because whenever somebody owes a debt, they're obligated to pay up. I always read that we are not obligated to the flesh. I don't have to anymore yield to the flesh. I don't have to yield to strife. I don't have to yield to offense. I don't have to yield to depression. All these things, we named all these things. None of them have to be a part of my life. I'm not obligated anymore because there is someone in me that's greater than all that. And he put in me what's greater than the enemy's attack against me. The joy of the Lord, for example, is greater than depression. Peace is greater than worry. And all these things, we're just overcomers over everything. The greater one's bigger than anything. Praise the Lord. And so we're debtors, not to the flesh. We're not obligated to the flesh, live after the flesh. Then he said in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. We could do that. We can be saved and still live like any old person out there that's bound by sin. Because that nature that changed is not in our flesh, it's in our spirit. We got a new nature in our spirit. I know this is basic, but the Lord just put me back on some basic things. He said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That's a choice that we have to make. We're not going to live that way anymore. But if you, through the Spirit, let's say this, through the Holy Spirit, or let's say this, through the greater one who lives on the inside of you, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So the way we overcome all these things is through the Spirit. Notice he said, you through the Spirit. He didn't say, you through willpower. You through New Year's resolutions. I'm not preaching against that. We have to set our will and decide that we're going to walk in the Spirit. But yet, right on the other hand, we've proven over and over again, just willpower is not enough. You know it as well as I know it. Don't look at me sanctimonious. That ain't enough. That ain't enough. There is what we call the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Now notice, temperance. Temperance. That's a fruit of your spirit. Temperance means control, self-control. That's a fruit of your spirit. That's not willpower. That's something that's supernatural. That's not a part of your natural man. That's something that's supernatural. And without tapping into that, you and I are going to live just like the world lives and look no different than the world. We can be just as mean and ugly. We can be just as unkind. We can be just as depressed, just as unforgiving, just as offended, just as, you know it. Raise your hand, say, I know he's preaching the truth. But we don't have to. We can live in victory. We can just not take the bait. When offense comes, we don't have to chomp down on it and say, well, bless God. You know, they just did. I just can't help it. I can't. Yes, you could. Yeah, what, but that's the first thing you got to change is act like you couldn't help it. Well, it's just the Irish in me. I know. Irish flesh. That's exactly what it is. Irish flesh. Amen. Tell your neighbor, and he's preaching to you too. Amen. There are things in all of our lives that we, without the power of God, will be overcome by. Amen. That on our own we would fall into over and over again. Anger. Take anger. How about just simply, strife or something like that? Isn't that right? These are things that we can't stand against on our own willpower, our own strength, because we've tried that and it's whooped us time after time. Am I in the right room? These things that try to whoop us, they may be of the flesh or they may be demonically inspired. Regardless, whichever, the truth of God's word getting in you will set you free. Actually, wait. He didn't say set free. Will make you free. Make you free. Why did I catch myself? Because there's a difference between being set free and being made free. Amen. Now, let me give you the difference. The difference is to set free is something you do on the outside. To make free is to create a condition on the inside. Amen. To set free is an event. To make free is to make exempt from the liability of ever being in that bondage again. Think about the proclamation, we call it the Emancipation Proclamation, where the slaves were set free under Abraham Lincoln. Anybody ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? You know it happened, but maybe you didn't know what it was called. Emancipation Proclamation. Well, that Emancipation Proclamation did not just set the slave man free. You understand what I'm talking about. It gave him authority to live free for the rest of his life. He's free now from the liability of ever being taken back into slavery. See, to just set something free or someone free doesn't mean that maybe later on somebody could change their mind. But the Emancipation Proclamation declared you are not liable to that bondage ever again in your life. Praise the Lord. And Jesus didn't come to set you free. He said, there are truths in my word that will not just set you free, it will make you free. Hallelujah. Where you never get back in that bondage again. Being made free is a lifestyle. It means living a lifestyle where the sins dictates or depressions dictates or torments dictates or a squirrely minds dictates. Where those things, whenever they come to dictate to you, make their demands upon you and come to entice you back into that bondage. Amen. That slavery again. Where if you're made free, that thing can't control you anymore. It's where all those things such as bondage, depression, disease, fear, all those things, or anything else Satan tries to tie you up with or lock you down with or burden you down with, they are put in a, you are put in a place where you are ruling over them and they're under your feet. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. You see, the truth of what Jesus did for you and I at Calvary and in defeating the enemy, giving us the power through the greater one to live victorious, that truth is not automatically going to be experienced in our life until something happens that causes us to be made free. And he said here, it's knowing the truth. Knowing the truth. These people thought here in John's gospel, they thought, well, I don't know what you mean talking about to us about being free. We were never in bondage to any man. And Jesus said, well, if you keep going back to the squalor of sin, you're under the power of it. You're servant to it. You're bound by it. And he's saying, here's the truth. This is how you'll be made free. Now look at verse number 34 in John 8. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In other words, whoever ongoingly practices it, whoever keeps on going back to that squalor, he's obviously still underneath that thing's bondage. He's a servant to it. In other words, he's not ruling over it. It's controlling him. Then he said, the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Really free. Free indeed means really free. In other words, it comes to entice you again, and you go, you're stupid. You're dumb. I've been there. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a bridge out on that road. It's a bridge to nowhere. It's a road to nowhere. You promise me all kind of pleasure, but it makes me hate myself. It makes me ashamed of myself. It makes me full of condemnation. And you're really trying to get me back into it to keep my faith from working. And I'm on to you now. I'm not going to yield to you anymore now. I know better. Yeah. And you just laugh at it because you were made free. You don't believe the lie anymore. Come on now. You know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Satan wants to keep you frustrated in your spirit, condemned and discouraged. And he wants your faith. He wants to keep tripping you up so that your faith doesn't work. Where you go to believe God and you're just ashamed to even come into his presence because of what you've been bound by. That, my friend, is not really truly free. Like Jesus said here, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Praise the Lord. Can you give me another few minutes? I'm not going to take much longer here. But Isaiah 10:27 says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. What is a yoke? It's something that tries to bind you up. It's something the devil tries to lock you down with, get you underneath the burden of. It's something that you see, the devil's an oppressor. He wants to bring these things that we've mentioned and oppress you. But it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Okay, then the question is, where can we find that anointing? Lord Jesus, help us find that anointing. Well, let's just read a few verses. Maybe we won't turn to them for time's sake. Let's go to first, I mean, just in our minds, Romans 1:16-17. The end of that passage says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The word anointing, power, and Holy Spirit are used interchangeably in the Bible. So when it says the gospel is the power of God, he's saying that it's anointed. This message, the message of this Bible, is anointed. It's the power of God, not only to salvation, but it means deliverance, safety, preservation, and freedom, and healing, and all those other things. That's where the power is. Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Luke 1:37, in the Amplified, no word of God shall be void of power or impossible of fulfillment. Praise the Lord. And we could go on and on. Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. His word is his power. And then I wanted to get to this one before we close. Ephesians 6. Turn quickly. Ephesians chapter number 6. Tells us to put on the armor, doesn't it? Praise God. Tell your neighbor, we're learning to walk in victory this morning. It tells us the whole armor of God. You know, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. And the power of His might. That's how you're going to overcome, by strength and power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. We know these passages. He talks about the different pieces of armor. Go down to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He calls the sword of the Spirit the Word of God. Now, why does he call it, the Bible here, call it the sword of the Spirit? Because the word Spirit and the word anointing are used interchangeably in the Bible. So we could say the sword of the anointing. The sword of the anointing. Amen. So when he says go after what is trying to come against you with the sword of the anointing, he's talking about go after these yokes that try to bind you. Go after that old offended spirit. Go after, you know, the depression that tries to come around when it gets cloudy and it's wintertime outside. And all these things, we listed so many things and there's so many more. Go after that thing with the sword of the anointing. In other words, like Jesus in Luke 4, whenever Satan came to try to put him in bondage, that's what he was trying to do, put him in bondage. You know, if you be the Son of God, do this. Remember those temptations. And Jesus, every time, said, "It is written." And he quoted the word to the enemy. Somebody said, "Well, does it work?" Well, every time Jesus quoted the word, it defeated Satan. It's the anointing. When you get the word of God in your heart and in your mouth, when you plant it inside, when it dwells in you richly, whenever the Bible says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that's not something God does. That's something you do. Yeah. How do you get it in you? If you get in the word will get in you. And the Bible talks about over there in John 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you know. The word in you is your defense against all this. It is the power that breaks yokes and destroys bondages. So when it says the anointing destroys the yoke, the anointing's on the word. Are you following me? And so, just like Jesus, it is written. If you don't know what is written, you're at a disadvantage. The Bible says Satan takes advantage of ignorance. You have the advantage through who you are in Christ, but Satan takes advantage of your ignorance, and he gets the advantage. He steals your advantage from you. Isn't that right? So go after these yokes that bind you with the Word of God. What does the Bible, let's say it's strife that keeps trying to get in your home. What does the Bible say about strife? Well, how about this James chapter number 1 there where it talks about where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Amen. And the Bible said this is not the wisdom of God. That just a few verses later. This is not the wisdom of God, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Well, so then that opens the door to the devil. It opens the door to why we're having trouble in our finances. It opens the door. And so you just start getting the word in you about whatever it is that keeps trying to bind you up. And the more that word gets in you, the more that word builds up on the inside of you. I'm not talking about a head full of knowledge. I'm talking about getting a revelation of it down in your spirit. Are you still with me? Because some people have a head full of knowledge, but it hasn't really dawned on them yet what the Bible actually says. It has to be a personal revelation. And so go after those things with the anointing on the word. Free yourself from all those things that Satan tries to bind you with and walk in the liberty that Jesus already purchased for you using the sword of the anointing, God's word. That's the power to destroy the yokes. Galatians 5, 1 and 13. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled again with the yokes of bondage. Hallelujah. You realize how long it took just to get this congregation free from the oppression that's in this city? What did it? The word. The word. The word. Hallelujah. There's an individual who's been coming here for a few months. They haven't smiled for about a month and a half, except two Sundays ago, the first time I saw him smiling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. The word starts getting in you, renewing your mind, and starts changing your outlook on life. Praise God. In other words, God's provision of these things doesn't make it automatic. You're going to have to use your faith. Can you see what I'm talking about? So there is freedom, like I said, that comes no other way than other through the knowledge of the truth of who you are in Christ. You got to get a hold of that. Can you say amen?
Amen?
There's power available to you to whip these things, whatever it might be in your life. And you realize what we really are trying to get to is Acts 19, 20. You don't have to turn there because I'm closing this down. You can't tell it, but I am. Acts 19, 20 said, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. Notice it didn't prevail in one hearing. Paul talked about not only planting the word. See, when the word is first preached, somebody hears it for the first time, it gets planted. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 6 through 9, actually. One hearing is not going to prevail just because you heard it once. This verse said in Acts 19, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. It didn't prevail just because it was planted. It had to grow. I don't know how long it was, 6, 8 weeks of drought we had this fall. Right before that, out on the ranch, I planted some things in certain areas for the deer and stuff. And we got one rain the very afternoon after that got planted, so it germinated. If it hadn't rained, we wouldn't have germinated. But that one little rain germinated. But from then on, for whatever, 6 weeks, how long was it? Anybody know? 6, 8 weeks, something? 6, 8 weeks, we didn't get a drop of rain. Well, I mean, maybe a drop or two. And, you know, that crop didn't prevail. It's there all right. Just little, when it's supposed to be about this tall. So it doesn't prevail just because it got planted. And then you came and you heard it again. See, planting is one thing. Watering is another thing. Watering has gone back over the same truth over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. It doesn't prevail because you heard it and because it got a little water one time because you came at Christmas and Easter. It prevails whenever it gets everything it needs to prevail. A lot of people, the Word of God has too much competition. They're more interested in other things, recreation and so forth, than really getting the Word in them, prevailing in them, and where it pushes out all this stuff. Years ago, a man had a vision. I'm trying to remember his name. Somebody might remember. He had a vision of the church, the body of Christ, in the last days. And the church was like a giant laying on the earth. And this giant was laying on the earth. He had all these bondages and cords all over him and all these little critters and things, you know, on him. But there was this liquid light that came out of heaven and hit that giant. And it was the knowledge of God and the anointing of the Spirit. And that giant began to move himself and shake himself. And that giant began to rise up. And all these bondages started coming off. And all these little critters started running off of him. And that's the way a lot of people have been. A lot of little oppression here, bondage here, little demonic activity over here, flesh dominating them over here, opening the door to the devil over here. And so there's just not freedom like there's supposed to be. Tell me I'm preaching all right. But blessed be God, there is a truth from God's word that will destroy any yoke and any bondage. But it doesn't prevail through one hearing. Amen. It's got to be watered continually and grow, and get this, displace all that junk. Amen. Displace all those things. The word, the truth of God's word will grow up and push all that other stuff out. The reason farmers spray weeds and cultivate and do what they do is because they want to give that crop the best chance to get ahead of the weeds. So that the weeds are underneath the shadow of the crop, so the crop can get all the sun and take over. That's called prevailing. So there's some things you're going to have to say. I can't give time to that right now. I can't give my attention to my depression right now. My attention is my watering that depression. I don't want to water my depression. I'm going to get my attention over here on the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. And that's watering that and watering that. And it begins to prevail. And before you know it, the other things don't have the light. They don't have the moisture. And it's just, they start dying off. Amen. Glory! Glory! This is where the modern day church is missing it. They think getting saved is all there is to it. Oh, brother, if there's nothing else you get that. But there's victory down here in this life. Oh, tell your neighbor, I've been bound, now I'm free. Free's better. Praise God. You are God's garden. The Bible said that there in 1 Corinthians 3:9. And you are to produce a bumper crop of freedom in every area. Victory in every area. Things working for you. Life is working. Finances are working. Marriage is working. The home is working. I just believe, and the Word of God preaches it, we read the verses, that there is to be victory in every area of life. Not win some, lose some. Always triumphant. Always triumphant. Triumphant over the attacks against our thought life. Answering those things with the Word of God and seeing victory in our and peace come back into our mind. I did it. I preached myself happy. Stand up with me. Tell your neighbor the Word. Knowing the Word, knowing the truth, will not just set you free.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.